Welcome to The Clean Truth, where we like to call bullshit on the status quo.
What is up? Welcome back to The Clean Truth. I'm Don. This is not Red sitting next to me, and it ain't the Silver Fox. This is Jason Barclay from Brand One.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate it, and thanks for letting me join you today. I'm looking forward to what you want to ask me about in our conversation.
We're going to talk franchising. We're going to kind of follow it up with a podcast that Yvonne and I did a couple weeks ago, maybe, I think. But I figured you'd be a good guy to get a little bit deeper into that topic on perspective from somebody that wants to buy a franchise and then also from like a corporate side, somebody that's thinking about franchising their business. But before we get into all that, you know me, I'm kind of a goofball, so we got to have some fun first. We have to start with show and tell. Show and tell is the bullshit product reviews that Ben and I started doing.
Right, a couple weeks ago,
I've been listening. I'm dubbing it show and tell. Product reviews is kind of cheesy. I like show and tell better.
All right.
Did you bring anything for show and tell, or is it all me?
We'll figure something out.
I think it's all me.
This time.
Okay. I've got a little surprise for you and everybody else. I'm gonna step away here. So, what I'm holding in my hand here is a little secret that Clean Eats is getting ready to come out with, and I don't think you've had one, have you?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, I'm not going to open it and touch it, but this is the new cookies and cream bar. It's one flavor of some new snack line items that we're getting ready to drop.
Wonderful.
So what I want you to do is open it, take yourself a little bite.
All right. We can do that.
And then give me your honest feedback.
Talk while I chew for a minute. All right.
Yeah.
Keep talking. I'm chewing. Bigger bite.
I just
want to
see the facial reaction.
Oh, the facial expression is awesome. It's like cookies and cream ice cream.
Okay. We'll drop it at that.
I mean, it's that
good.
How much
better than cookies and cream ice cream?
Right. My wife will steal this from me at home, so she's not going to get it.
I'm not going to divulge too much info on the snack line item. That's going to be a surprise, but there's your little upfront sneak peek. What's next, truth or dare? Ben's going to miss it. This is the first dare. We did truth last week. So we started doing truth or dare.
Yeah, I'll listen.
Just being idiots, so.
All right, well, let's do it. What do you want to do?
Scott's got it. We haven't heard, so.
50% body weight bench off.
50% body weight bench off. Is that between me and Jason since he's on the show today?
Yes, sir.
Or is it me and Silver Fox?
Good luck, Jason.
Right. Yeah, I would like to delegate if I could, but so let me think, Dawn. I weigh about 165 pounds. That's 82. I can do a lot of those, but I don't think.
You can do 20 of them at 82 pounds?
All day long.
Ooh.
Well, you can do. I mean, all you have to do.
I'm 212, so I'd be doing 106 pounds.
Yeah, 50 times, I would assume, is probably something you could do. Yeah, great, great dare.
All right. Who submitted that? Does it say? I think it was John Simmons, if I remember right.
It was Shane O'Bickle.
Huh. Good one, Shane.
Yeah, that is a good. I like that one as well. So when I get home at the gym this afternoon, I'm going to see what we can do.
We got to do it tonight?
Yeah, of course. Let's get at it. I haven't bench pressed for a year, so it should be.
It is Titty Tuesday. It's a good. Okay, cool.
Yeah, man. There'll be no cameras or anything.
No, we got to, man. It's going to be on live.
Yeah. I mean,
we'll give everybody a heads up, but we'll do this live on Instagram tonight. Little clean truth or dare bench off, half the body weight.
That sounds good. You know me, I'm always up for a good challenge and making fun of myself, so I'm in.
Cool. Guys, keep submitting those to producer Scott, Clean Eats Life. I see a lot of those come in. I try not to look at them because I don't know which ones you're going to pick, but I see a lot of them coming in. They're pretty funny. All right, let's get a little bit serious here, if that's possible.
Right.
And talk about franchising. We did a podcast, Yvonne and I did. I don't remember. It was 3 or 4 weeks ago. maybe longer than that. And we talked about franchising because Yvonne and I get this a lot. We get, I'm thinking about franchising my business, but I don't know how, I don't know where to start. So we talked about that. We talked about pros and cons of franchising your business, but I don't think we talked about what makes somebody decide, hey, I think I want to buy a franchise. So like from a customer standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me chime in on that a little bit. I think that ultimately people that want to buy a franchise aren't a lot of different than somebody else that wants a life change for some reason. And it could be they want to grow, they want to have more lifestyle flexibility, they want to make more income. Heck, they might want to just give back to the community they serve, right? There's all kind of different reasons. But when you really take a look at it, it's they look at your model, and let's use Clean Eats for example, because we're in your Clean Eats office, is that they can reach their goals by following a business system. And in franchising, I think that's the number one thing. You know, I our company and myself, 160 years of us doing this collectively, all kind of brands come to us and say, hey, we want a franchise. And it's like you said, and they're coming to you as somebody that's successfully done it. They come to us as, how can you help us? And I'm always like, well, what are you offering that customer or that franchisee? What are you doing to help them be successful? And if the answer's, well, I don't know, well, then they're not ready to franchise.
Right.
So you have to put together the process with it. And, you know, Clean Eats, you guys have it. You have a unique business model. You provide marketing, training, real estate help. I mean, that's what people need, because they most likely nobody's going to come in with that skill set, or at least that complete skill set. So I always think of this, is that people make decisions based on emotional and rational. They have to both line up. So the rational could be just income, or this business makes money. The emotional could be, you know, I had a life-changing event, or I want to eat better. I want to provide that service in a Clean Eats case to the public in their area. So I think you link up emotional and rational decisions and you have something.
So go a little bit deeper than that though, because I think it starts with somebody a little bit deeper than that when a person is sitting here thinking about doing this. So I'll use myself as an example. It may be a bad example when I'm explaining it, but I've been thinking about buying other franchises, not to start them, just to kind of expand a portfolio, like what can I get into? And I battle with, is owning a franchise, if me being a franchisee, paying the franchise fees, using somebody else's business system, is that something that I can personally do? I don't know that for myself. So that's why I'm using that example. But for somebody else that's thinking about going through this process, what would you tell them to look for in themselves? You know, is it, can I live with myself every day? And I say that sounds terrible coming out, but can I be okay with going to work every day, not being the one that created the business that I own?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that can. There's a lot of people that want to own their own business, but they don't have the quote unquote creativity or whatever you want to call it. And I don't mean that derogatory by any means, but it just means that they don't have enough of that entrepreneurial drive or know-how to do it, but they can still run a business very effectively.
Yeah, Don, first of all, I would say that you're a minority in the fact that you are a creator. You and Yvonne are a creator. That's something that, like, you see something, just like the bar we just had. This isn't the first edition of this. You know, this is something you continue to make better as your franchise system. And you and Yvonne are kind of creators on, hey, we get something and let's go with it. We can do it better and we can figure it out. A lot of people don't have that same skill set. Their skill set might be, hey, I'm great at marketing, but I'm just scared. I don't want to go try to figure it out on my own. They don't have that intestinal fortitude to do that. So I think that you're coming at it a little bit different. I think that most people look at franchises saying, I want to take a calculated risk. And how I'm going to make that risk make sense is I go with a franchise model that's already proven. Meaning, and proven varies, right? It could be a 50-year-old concept, or it could be one that just, you know, started franchising yesterday, but they built the systems in place. They had a business model that's been open for X period of time. I look at it as a calculated risk where they're saying, this is the right folks to partner with. And partner, you got to watch that word, because it's really a franchisee, not a partnership. But this is who I should partner with. the business system works. They work as people, meaning that we can get along and do business. Because franchising is a long-term relationship. It's
a marriage.
It is a marriage. And that's a good way to look at it. And that's why there's a lot of due diligence that goes into it on the front end, or should, making sure that fits there. And I know we talk about it in the past, and I talk about it with people I work with. It's like, listen, you got to make sure that the business model works, but I also want you to make sure that you like, trust, and respect that team of that brand. Because if not, that marriage isn't going to end very well later on down the road.
And it can also change through time.
It does. Yeah, it's going to change, because franchisees are going to come in for the most part and say, all right, I'm new to this. We were talking this morning over a cup of coffee that, you know, hey, I need a lot of help on the front end. Of course, right? Because it's new to them. Doesn't mean it's not a bad thing. It's just they need some help. But as they go through this process, then they're going to need less support and they're going to be more successful down the road. So that it does change, and it's going to change pretty much constantly, to be candid.
So once they make the decision, say they find a brand, how much in your opinion goes into what kind of franchise do I want to buy? You know, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. So would you buy a franchise that you knew nothing about? Or, you know, how does somebody make that decision? You know what I mean? Like, I know for me and Yvonne and us here at Clean Eats, we almost prefer somebody coming in with zero restaurant experience, because they don't know what they don't know. They're easier to train. If they have any restaurant experience, we say they're bad habits. They're not bad habits. They're just different habits that are very hard for somebody to break. So somebody new off the street, just say they want to own a dog grooming company, you know, how does somebody make that decision on what they want to do? Is it because sometimes it doesn't have to be passion, but most of the time, if you don't know, at the end of the day, I mean, it's kind of a cheesy old saying, but you got to love what you do every day.
Yeah, at least that's the way it should be, right? Life's short, so why not love what you do? I mean, we're fortunate enough to work with companies that we enjoy coming to work every day. I think it depends on the business model. There's some models that are inherently harder to operate than others. So when somebody's making that decision, they need to understand how complex is that model, right? And like you mentioned about Clean Eats, not having people with restaurant background and helping them understand that. You guys have a good system in place to educate the franchisees on what that looks like, from initial training to ongoing training. That's important to have on your franchise system. But, you know, if it was a very complicated model, I'm trying not to call it any industries here, but a very complicated model, boy, you're going to have to find somebody that can pick it up a lot quicker, because if not, you know, we all know that any business that starts, that first 6 months to a year is kind of it's the telltale, right? What does that look like? So I just think it depends on how hard it is to
operate.
Especially
if you know nothing about it.
Exactly. You know, and again, bigger rents, higher debt structure. I mean, that all adds that complexity onto it that can scare somebody. But I think that good brands have a pretty simple business model that can be executed. My number one thing in franchising that I always tell people is just to execute. You have to execute. And that's kind of where you said about somebody might come in with a ton of restaurant experience, and there could be some positives, and you have some great franchisees with some restaurant experience that do quite well, very well. But boy, if you can help kind of just get somebody to execute on the model and walk through it, I think you're in a better situation overall.
Yeah, I think for the most part, it's just like anything else. It's passion. What are you into? What do you like? I mean, I'm not a car guy. I wouldn't go buy a mobile oil change place or, you know, like go looking at oil change franchises.
Right.
I don't know nothing about them. It's not something that interests me. You know, for me, you know, I was saying that I was looking into these. The pets, something with me, because I love dogs.
Right.
So that would be something for me, if I was going to go do that, that's what I would go look for. You know, I keep getting on to Ben. Ben loves to cut hair. We were joking about this last night, but where the hell he learned this? Hell, I don't know. I mean, probably
he's a natural.
Yeah, but I mean, and he's good at it. So I'm like, Ben, you know, you're looking to kind of make your money work for you. Some of the money that you saved up over time, why not invest it into something that you know something about and that you have a little bit of passion for?
Yeah, well, you could do that. And again, I think that each is his own, right? Some folks say, I don't care if I have a passion about it. Now, I always come back and challenge that. Like, you have to like what you do. Sure. So even if you don't have a passion about haircutting, can you manage the person that does it? Or whatever that may be. Find your skill set of something that you like to do, because the most likely, if you enjoy it, you're going to be better at it, right? I mean, nobody wants to get up every day and be miserable. That's not the way to do it. Most of the time, those are the people that look at franchising. They're in corporate America, they're sick of the rat race, or they've been downsized because of no fault of their own, and they're saying, I want to control this. And that's what brings them to franchising.
Sure. Their why, basically.
Yeah.
Which we do. I mean, I love how we do it here. You know, when we have people come in and they're coming to our discovery days, you know, and interested in a franchise, and we ask them, we go around the room and ask them, why are you here? Why did you choose us?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to start a discovery day. You know, and candidly, we, in our process, when we're working with the candidates for Clean Eats, we ask that as well. What's your why? I mean, that's just a powerful, what is your why on a daily basis is pretty dang powerful, and it helps you get a little better understanding of, you know, what motivated them to either today virtually come to us or fly across the country to come down to Wilmington to attend a discovery day. I mean, that's a great way to start that meeting off.
I can, that works the same way on the other side too. You know, Yvonne and I have a couple other business models that we've kind of thought up and thought about, you know, diving into. I'm talking about food models, but there's no meaning there behind it. You know what I mean? It would be starting a restaurant concept for the sake of starting it.
Right.
It doesn't have the same meaning as what Clean Eats does to us, so we just never really dabbled in it. And, you know, whether it's, you know, I don't even remember what they are, but, you know, one was like a hibachi thing, and I'm like, I don't have any, like, passion or drive behind what I'm doing other than just the passion to create it and build it.
Right.
But what do you do when you get it there?
Right.
I feel like I would be doing somebody a disservice by creating that and developing it, opening it, and then if we decided to franchise it, then what?
Right.
I'm selling people these that...
Yeah, you don't have your own passion behind it. And that gets minimized as it grows. You do, at Discovery Days, I don't want to tell everybody what we say or what you say, but I think that what I respect from you and the team at Clean Eats is your personal why of wanting franchisees to be successful. You know how you said, hey, it's kind of changed through our evolution to where we are today. But I think that if you keep the franchisee and their success, and success varies, whatever that may be, sure, but if you keep that the number one priority, you're going to have happy franchisees that will validate, hey, good people, good business model. And that's why, you know, if you want to know the dang truth, that's why we work with you, is because I believe that personally, and I believe that you guys are in it for the right reasons. And the franchisees tell people that all the time. So it's working its way the whole way down to the franchise discovery process. And I'm sure the customers pick it up as well.
Well, I appreciate it. We try. I mean, that's always our mission. Because without them, we wouldn't be successful.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of franchise systems out there. The franchisor, I think sometimes they forget that.
Yeah.
And I think if you do that, you start going down that road, you're done.
Well, yeah, it's definitely tough to change courses if you start going down that route. So I think if you just keep the franchisee first, you know, within reason, right? I'm not saying do crazy stuff, but the franchisee's well-being first and you care about them. Heck, I just heard you on the way down to here yesterday on a podcast that you and Ben did about people first.
Yep.
If you lead with people first, things will work out in your favor.
Every time.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's flip the script a little bit. Now let's talk about somebody who owns a business already that wants to franchise it. This was something her and I talked predominantly about on the last podcast was, you know, hey, I have this business. I think I want to franchise it, but I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
I think you said it a minute ago. What kind of business is it and what do you have and what are you franchising?
Yeah. Well, for everybody likes it. They think, well, franchising's easy and I got this business system, but sometimes they need a gut check on what do you really have, right? If I can use a pretty good example. Hey, I got a restoration company that does $4 million in business. It makes $1 million bottom line, right? Sounds good. Off the cuff, that sounds good. But then you find out they're running a whole state of North Carolina as their territory. Well, what would it be if you actually brought that down to a territory size that a franchisee would get?
Sure.
A lot different, right? So you really have to start working with, when people come to us, I'm always like, listen, I'll give you my advice. It's free consulting. I'll just tell you what works. But I think you need to have a model that people can make money. And it varies, right? Because the investment can factor into that, and lifestyle, is it absentee or they involved in it. But then if somebody wants, my advice would be if somebody wanted to start franchising from scratch, there are companies out there that will can help them package it. And I don't even mean franchise development like what my company does and my partners. I mean more of a company that'll say, all right, we got to focus on operations. Here's your operation. We're going to help build out a manual, right? Because you don't think about when you're a successful owner at a Clean Eats and you guys started this, you probably didn't think about all the little things that you did operationally that you have to get that through a manual or through a video, whatever, to help franchisees be able to duplicate it.
No, we didn't at all. And the funny thing is, we didn't think about that until 9-10 stores deep.
Right.
Before right. We were like, okay, shit, now we need to start building some systems and procedures, because Yvonne and I just never operated that way.
Right.
We were never black and white. It has to be this way. We just did it our way, and we made it work. But
And you guys were fortunate enough to have a great business model, you know, and that you were able to adapt at 9 or 10 units. But again, my advice would be somebody talk to one of these companies that help you with operations, legal. We didn't even talk about the legal side, you know, FDD, that disclosure document. That's a whole animal in itself, right? A lot of people can get caught up on that.
Oh, yeah.
You can get caught up and get in trouble on that one. So legal, operations, how are you going to help them market their business? There's some great companies out there that package that for folks early, because candidly, get that stuff in place, because when you start growing, you know, you need to have that, because each new franchisee, it's incremental risk to them and you. I mean, a good example is you guys kind of in, 18, 19, kind of took some time off from franchise development.
We did.
Pulled back. And it was pulled back because, hey, we are going to grow. So you added, Walter's a great example, other staff members, other operations things in place. And that's very smart. Because
we were growing at a rate that we couldn't manage.
Right, right. So take a step back, get your act together, right, to say, and now we're able to move forward successfully. And the franchisees obviously validate the model and you know, love what you guys are doing. So makes it fun for us.
These companies that you're talking about, though, I urge everybody that is listening to this to do your research on those companies, because there's, for every one that there's good, there's two that's bad.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah,
I mean, at least. If anybody is listening and wants some names of some folks that I would put my name behind, I can help you with. But you're really right, and ask for validation and that sort of thing.
Even with the legal side, I mean, I've had people that have told me that they've started. I won't use their name in a business, but I was talking to a friend of ours here in town who owned, you know, kind of a fitness personal training type business. And she went and franchised it. And she's telling me this in a conversation. And I'm like, well, what do you mean you franchised your training studio? What did you franchise? And she goes, well, the name and, you know, everything else. And I said, well, did you franchise it or did you license the name? She honestly could not tell me the difference. And I'm like, man.
Right.
my red flag started going up in my head. And I said, okay, well, you know, did you hire an attorney? You know, who wrote your FDD? I started asking her very basic cut and dry questions, and she couldn't answer them. And I was like, girl, you might want to go talk to a franchise attorney.
Oh, for sure.
Franchise attorney.
Right.
Don't hire your mom's lawyer, your neighbor's attorney who practices, you know, personal injury. It's not the same.
Yeah, no doubt. And even in the sales discovery process, right, when somebody gets close and they say, I want an attorney to review, the first thing I always say is, franchise attorney, because the same thing, right? Cousin Jed, that's a divorce attorney's probably right. Not going to review the franchise agreement like a seasoned franchise attorney.
Knows zero about franchise law, also.
Yeah, exactly. Even a business contract law that's not franchising, it's different.
Yeah.
You know, franchise companies, good franchise companies, are going to have franchise agreements that are consistent among their franchisees, and keep that integrity that everybody kind of has the same deal or does have the same deal, where, you know, again, a divorce attorney or a family attorney wouldn't know that. And they might come in and say, I want to change 15 different things. No, we're going to keep this fair. Everybody's on the same program.
I think one of the other things that somebody needs to ask themselves is, what kind of leader are they?
As a business owner?
As a business owner.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Because that's probably one of the hardest things that I've had to learn throughout this whole process. You know, it's one of the things that, I mean, honestly, to this day, as we're sitting here speaking, it's one of the hardest things I still deal with.
Yeah.
You know, I have to make decisions every day that benefit the brand as a whole. You know, I mean, I get phone calls daily from franchisees that, you know, and it's not derogatory. It's not that they're asking, you know, to be a pain in the ass or to cause any trouble, but they'll call me and say, hey, man, I'm thinking about doing this. What are your thoughts, or is this okay? And then I tell them no, and I always try to give them the reason. It's never, no, you can't do that. Well, why? Because I said so. That's not good. You can't do that. You can't lead that way. So I'll give them the reasons why that they can't do it and explain it to them, and it doesn't always work out. Predominantly most of the time it does, but there's always those times where they get really pissed.
Right.
And, you know, and they think that I'm being an asshole, and I'm like, I'm not being an asshole. I'm not telling you no because I don't want you to do it. But there's decisions that you're going to have to make to protect your business, to protect your brand, that aren't always going to make everybody in your franchise system happy.
Right.
That's just the way that it is.
Yeah, and I think that that makes a good point, Don, is that, I mean, your job is to protect the brand. And I don't mean just branding. I mean the brand and the families that own Clean Eats that put their money into it. Yeah, that's the number one thing, is protect the brand and the integrity of it, right? So if there's some one-offs, you're going to have to deal with it. Now, as a franchisee, it's the same thing, just a smaller scale, right? They may have an employee that wants to do something different or something, and they should be thinking, I need to protect my micro brand, right? I need to protect this business system that I have, with the same kind of rationale that you just brought up. And I think good leaders may have to make tough decisions. They're not always going to be loved or liked. But again, if you keep the focus on the brand and the people involved first, people get it. They might not get it right away. You might tick some people off, as you mentioned, but sooner or later they'll go, man, he did it. He did it, or they did it for the right reasons.
And I think sometimes it's going to fight your moral compass also. I just had to do that. I think I mentioned that on one of the last podcasts. I don't think it was the last one, podcast before or something, where, you know, I think it was the Civil War.
The opening one, right. Yeah, about opening. Yep.
Where the guy was, that particular franchisee was going to open his dining room up before the governor said it was okay. And I had to call him and say, listen, man, it's not that I don't disagree with you, not one bit. But I said, if the decision that you're about to make is going to affect this whole brand, and I can't let you do that. You cannot do that.
Right.
No matter what I believe, what you believe, we just can't do it, because we have 45 other business owners under this same brand that decision would affect it if I said, yeah, go ahead and do that. Screw off.
Right.
Just open it.
Did he get it? Did it?
Oh, yeah. He totally understood it. You know, I mean, and I don't blame him one bit. He was emotional. He was angry. He wanted to open his business. I get it. I believe. I mean,
yeah,
I agree with him.
I get
1,000%.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, like you said, we have to protect the brand. So
yeah, right decisions aren't always the most favorable to or most liked, put it that way.
Right. So. Well, what else we got from the franchisor side? So, you know, besides having a good business model, to me, I always try to look for the niche. I look for what sets it apart. Not just do you have something that's duplicatable, but what's the niche behind it?
Yeah.
Because this day and age, if you don't have a niche, you're behind the curve already.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, when it really comes down to it, I think that you do need to have something unique. You know, there's a sales term. I don't really like it because it's just salesy, but, you know, what is your unique selling proposition? What makes you different? And each brand that we work with, at least the brands that I personally work with, I can tell you what makes them unique in each case. But then you also have to educate that potential franchisee on what it is, and they need to buy in, right? I know you did a podcast a long time about a culture. And again, if you have culture, you get easier buy-in. If it's the right culture, and that helps you move the needle to be successful, and even just the energy bars, you know, something new. And you have to get the buy-in from the franchisees that, you know, this is the way we're going to do it, and here's the incremental value to you, and here's how it's going to benefit you. And if you get everybody on the same page, things go in the right direction and everybody wins.
Sure.
So I got a question. I'm going to switch it up here. We'll have some fun here for a minute. Would you do it again? Would you franchise Clean Eats again the way you did it, or what? Give me an example of an improvement or something you may have done besides operations before 9 or 10 stores.
Man,
I threw a lot at you.
I'd know the very first thing that I would change right off the bat would be we would have hired an attorney from the get-go instead of taking that first step with a quote-unquote consulting company without having legal representation. We did that. But we didn't know what we didn't know.
Right.
We were new. We had big hopes and dreams just like everybody else. And we took a bunch of... everybody gives Yvonne and I praise, which I respect. I mean, I appreciate it, of course. But, you know, what a lot of people don't know is some of the very horrendous decisions that we've made.
Right.
That we've learned very, very valuable lessons from. You know, and a few of those I've been completely open and honest with on this podcast before. One of them being, I signed an agreement with a consultant that damn near cost us multi-millions of dollars.
Right.
And it was a dumb move. To this day, it's probably the number two worst decision I've ever made in my life. One, number one being getting married to my ex-wife.
Yeah, I kind of knew that was going to go there. So.
You think she listens to this? You think she's going?
Well, even if so, that, at least she's number one.
She'd probably tell you the same thing, to be honest with you. But. Anyway.
So legal. That legal, you would come in and, again, that goes back to what we talked about earlier. Get a franchise attorney that can help you navigate the waters initially, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying these things like I regret them. I don't regret them at all, other than signing that one contract. That one I regret. But, you know, I don't regret it because I think we learned so much in the 5, 6, 7 years we've been doing this that I don't think we would have learned had we been scared or, you know, not been willing to take the risk that we did.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't all work out. So I wouldn't change them. Looking back, I wouldn't change them. I would change my approach to the way we did them for sure. You know, I would, like I said, I would hire the legal attorney first. And then, you know, you mentioned these consulting companies. We hired one when we got started, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about that. You know,
there's no need.
One of the guys is a partner with us. So, I mean, it wasn't, you know, I'm not going to say that it was all bad. I just wish that Yvonne and I would have knew a little bit more going into it than what we did. So I'm making that sound like it was a very bad experience. It wasn't. I just wish we would have knew more going into that because I would have made a couple different decisions along the way on how we developed it. And then some of the decisions that we made during that time would have been a little bit different. That's all I'm saying. But but outside of that, man, no, I would absolutely do it again.
Awesome.
Sure.
Well, you change a lot of lives of franchisees and customers. So that's a very powerful thing. But it's funny listening to you. I just thought about, you were saying, I wish I knew more and that sort of thing. Franchisees, that's exact same thing. That's what a franchise model does. That franchisee, instead of them trying to do XYZ business and having no clue what to do and making these mistakes, franchise companies made those mistakes in the past, unless they were perfect, but that doesn't really exist. And that what makes it unique is that they learn from those, just as you mentioned, and then they can execute it down the road for future franchisees.
Absolutely.
And that goes back to that risk mitigation of making the wrong step.
I can even take it one step further. One of the things that I still enjoy, I'm going to say this sarcastically, and a couple of the franchisees are going to know who I'm talking about, but that's okay because I'm speaking kind of lightly and playfully. But one of the things that I enjoy is when some of these very good franchisees execute our model almost damn near better than we do. And then they come to the table with us with different ideas that are actually, you know, really, really good, and we implement them into the system, whether it be something operational, a menu item, a snack line item, whatever the case may be. I mean, I could sit here and ramble on about a dozen different things that we've done in the past 2 or 3 years that weren't me and Yvonne's idea. They were franchisees' ideas.
Right, and that's a good franchise system, right? Franchisees not only have each other as kind of rocks to kind of stand up against or with, but they also can innovate better than one person would in one location. So, you know, it's like you mentioned a year and a half ago about coming back from the International Franchise Association, and the one thing you took away was the dealer council or the franchisee,
the franchise council,
franchise advisory council. I mean, speaking of something you should tell a young brand, do that. Don't be afraid to have your an advisory council to help you. You know, the old way of thinking was, we know how to do it better. And probably not. Put the council together. Be open to ideas. You don't need to accept every one of them, but they may bring you something that, you know, changes the brand and the direction that it's moving. So Absolutely. That was very smart of you.
Yep. And I think it goes, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here, but I also think that goes for your team also. You know, not just the franchisees, but also the people that are going to help you run this, because you don't know everything.
Right.
And I'm very, very grateful for the decisions that I made going down that road, and me and Yvonne put very good people around us. I mean, I'm the CEO. I'm using my fingers in quotes of our company, but there's a ton of shit I don't know.
Right.
That I don't even attempt to know, that I'm still learning. You know, I'm not an accountant.
Right.
We have a company controller for that I lean on. I don't know that much about logistical distribution stuff for our restaurants. We have a procurement guy for that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we've done a really good job of surrounding ourselves with people that know this, you know, these things better than we do. And if you're scared to do that, you're going to fail.
Right.
Huge, like massively, you're going to fail. If you have that entrepreneurial idea that I can do it all and I'm going to learn how to do it all and teach myself, bad move.
Right. Well, kind of the same thing being a franchisee. We always say the best franchisees know how to follow a system, not being that true entrepreneur. Because right. If so, they're not going to follow the system. They're going to try to do it on their own.
Yep. What the hell were we talking about before? I'm good at interrupting and then...
Well, I swapped you over to just, would you do it again? That's where we all started. And you said yes.
Yeah, I would absolutely do it again. And I want to keep doing it. I mean, I would love to, you know, do it with another model, but I haven't found one that makes, you know... makes it tick on the inside for me. I haven't found that yet.
Yeah, the passions at Clean Eats.
Yvonne and I talk about that all the time, and we get asked, well, you know, what's your goals? What's your plans? You know, I love what we've done with Clean Eats and what we continue to do that I would do. I would absolutely do it with another brand, something else that would marry well with this brand and to be able to offer it to our existing franchisees. But it would have to marry good with Clean Eats. It would have to, you know, kind of fit that lifestyle, improving people's lives type of mentality, because that's what we're about. That's what we believe in. That's our passion. So we haven't been able to find it, but if I do ever find it, I'm absolutely going to do it. And I would absolutely, the very first thing I would do when I turn the switch on would be I would call every franchise partner that we have right now in Clean Eats and go, hey, guess what? Yeah. We have another opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. Clean Eats with 40 some units opens, awesome situation, but we're going to make it bigger and better with great quality franchisees, and again helping that end consumer eat better and just make healthier decisions, and we all know we can do a better job at eating better. So that's really the passion behind it.
Yeah. The one aspect that we haven't talked about, and then we can wrap this up, is the sales process.
All right.
You know, you franchise your business, you better trust the sales process. You better trust the guy selling it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll just come right out and say it. We've had a very string of bad luck before, you know, we met you guys at Brand One in doing this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We started out with a guy, you know, he did a good job. He just, I don't think his vision and our vision aligned. You know,
right.
I'm not going to talk bad about the guy. It's not, I don't have any, you know, bad things to say about him personally. But his vision and our vision just didn't align, you know, and it's a pretty easy way to put it, you know. And then we moved to really not even having a franchise salesperson. We weren't doing it at all. I think we might have sold two or three units in that process, and it was just word of mouth. It was me doing it.
Right.
You know, for just talking person. About it. You know, and then we hired a young kid here in Wilmington locally. Awesome dude.
Yeah.
Great dude. Tyler was amazing. But again, Tyler didn't know what he didn't know. And we tried it on purpose. We actually said, you know, he's got sales experience and he knows our brand. He was a damn good customer, loyal customer, still is, still gets our meals. And we were like, we can teach him the franchise side. And I did to an extent, but it wasn't happening as fast as what we wanted it to, you know, for her and I to reach our goals and what we wanted to do. And so I had to have that conversation with him, and ultimately he got back into what he was doing that he has a lot of passion for. So, but we hit some bumps and bruises in that. So the why I'm going through that is because I think if you're going to do this, you have to find somebody that aligns with you, which is, we were very blessed to find you guys.
Right.
You know, you mentioned that
vice versa.
You mentioned going to IFA when we went to Vegas 2 years ago to that conference. That was our number one goal. It's the whole reason we went. We were like, if we don't find a development person here, I don't know what we're going to do. That's our number one goal. And, you know, you joke around at our discovery days and you like to bust Alex's balls. I wish she was here, but that she was stalking me on LinkedIn. And she actually did. She says she wasn't, but she was. She sent me about 6 messages on LinkedIn, DMs on LinkedIn.
I think it depends on what you call stalking. She thinks that's normal. I probably have 6 texts from her now. So,
I mean,
she was stalking you. I remember her telling, because, you know, we had back-to-back meetings with potential clients, and we take who we bring in as clients very serious. And she's like, you got to meet these Clean Eats folks. And I'm like, well, what do you know about them? And she's like, they changed my life. Their product changed my life. And she goes into, as you know, just had a baby, wanted to eat better, healthier lifestyle. And I think she just wanted to meet you guys initially. And then she drugged me over, and then we just kind of clicked. And I think that, at least for me, as I get older, I only want to work with people that, again, I like, trust, and respect, and that I believe their business model helps that franchisee meet their goals.
Sure.
I have sold stuff in the past that still had a good model. Don't get me wrong, right? But I just didn't have that. I didn't get up every day and go, and I don't mind jumping on a call at 7 a.m. or 6 p.m. at night to talk to somebody about Clean Eats. I like it. I believe in the concept. I'm a consumer of it. I believe in you guys. I wasn't always that way, but as I worked through my career and been blessed way more than I ever deserved, now I can pick and choose who I work with. So it was kind of fun. You picked us, we picked you, and now we have this relationship that I hold pretty tight to me. I enjoy it. Yeah. So trust it. Find somebody that you can trust and that also has a passion for the brand. I think that's the two key aspects of it. And it does help that, you know, like a brand one with 160 years of partner experience.
Well, that was what I was going to add too. Look at their background. What have they done? What have they developed?
And right.
I don't know. I just think that when we met you guys at that conference and we had that little sidebar meeting in the little,
yeah, call that vendor area.
Yeah. Yeah, vendor area. You know, the one thing that stuck out to me the most, and that was like was that 2 hours we sat there?
Yeah,
probably. Without even intending on doing it. Not one time did you guys ever try to sell us on brand one.
No.
Not one time in 2 hours.
I probably made fun of Michael's outfit then, right?
Yvonne and I walked away from that meeting. We went back up to our hotel room, and I was like, I like these guys. I don't even need to. I like them. And it was just because every other experience that we had just wasn't a good one.
Right.
And I'm talking about meeting new people and meeting new sales people that have approached us to want to do it. They were just pushy, man. They were pushy. They were salesmen. And I just knew that I wasn't going to get in bed with anybody that would sell this thing to anybody breathing.
Right, yeah.
And that's one thing you got to watch out for.
Well, that makes a good point, right? So, I mean, I think that if you go after it by helping someone, and that's literally, we took that meeting. We didn't know either. We walked into it, didn't know what we were getting into. But if you help people and they learn, so you learned about us, we learned about Clean Eats. It was just a mutual conversation. Let's just see if we have something. It's really no different than a franchisee talking to me the first time. Sure. That first call, I'm like, listen, we're just having an intro call. We're going to spend 45 minutes. We're just chatting. All we're trying to do is get to know each other a little bit to see if there's a possible fit. So if you go in sales, in any kind of sales, just by helping the person learn about what they may want versus the salesmanship, and be honest with them. I always used to say I'm way too honest for sales because I'm an accountant by trade. You could argue that I'm not the best sales guy. I get that. But at least I know I'm not BSing somebody and walking them down the wrong path, whether it be a brand, a founder, an executive in a company, or somebody that's just looking at franchising. Pretty easy.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have anything else that I can think of.
Well, when this is done, I get to finish this energy bar that tastes like cookies and cream ice cream, so I'm ready to wrap it up whenever you are.
You like it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
You haven't had the trail mix. The trail mix one? It'll make you want to slap your mom. Your mom don't listen to this.
So you said you were going to bring my mother
into
this.
I was going to bring your mom.
There you go. You did it.
You ready to do this bench off in a minute?
Yeah, that should be fun. Later. That's gonna be a little embarrassing. But
82 pounds. Is it really 82 pounds?
I'm going to not eat all day, and we're going to get on a scale. It might be 80 by the time we get on the bench.
I'm weighing in naked. Thanks. I'm going to try to lose as much weight as I can. I'm going to fast all day. I might go sit in the sauna.
You already had breakfast. I just saw you plowing breakfast here at Clean Eats.
Damn it.
You had 4 cups of coffee this morning. I've been watching.
Well, maybe it'll make me shit that breakfast.
Fair enough. If you're going to that extreme, you win the dare.
Ben might have to get in on this.
Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ben's like, you guys work out every day.
He's like a buck. What did you say you were?
Buck 60, something. That's what I'm going to be by the time we get.
75, I think.
Oh, geez. If he's only 15 pounds more than me, as big as he is, I'll hold the camera. I'll still do it for a laugh, just so you guys can make fun of me. I'm
self-deprecating. Maybe what we should do is we'll do a close grip bench, and you do a regular bench.
That's like good. So handicap. Your work and your whatever.
Yeah, we'll be really close.
Yeah. Good. I can do it. Well, if we're going to do it, we should put Scott in here. Scott the producer, I heard that's his new title. We're going to get him a shirt.
Well, he always just stands back there and watches us. It does the camera thing, never says anything. He's not mic'd up, so he can't say anything.
Yeah, and he's texting the whole time,
he needs recognition for all the shit he does on the back, except for that porn stash. What do you think of that porn stash?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he needs to groom up a little bit better.
Yeah. I can't see that.
Yeah, I think you're lying.
Maybe she's lying to me. I don't know.
Could be.
The next dare is if Scott can come to work one day and not rub his hands through his hair less than 20 times.
That ain't happening.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
That's not happening.
Because I'm at 23 and it's 10 a.m. It is pretty, but.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up there. If you enjoy the podcast, man, I've never asked this. I never have. But I would really appreciate it if you guys would share this. You know, leave a review on iTunes or wherever you can leave a review. Just let me know. It doesn't have to be a good one. You can say, hey, man, this thing sucks.
Yeah, blame it on me. I don't care. You're good.
Yeah, say Jason Barclay is short.
Yep.
The episode was terrible. No, I'm kidding.
Hasn't had a haircut. I mean, you go wherever you want.
All right, guys. Till next time.